Allison Liota served as a federal prosecutor in Washington, D.C. for 12 years. She focused on sex crimes, domestic violence, and crimes against children. Allison draws on those years to create some of the most compelling legal thrillers on the market today. In fact, she's been dubbed the female John Grisham. Allison is a weekly contributor to the Huffington Post, where she reality checks TV crime dramas. For the last 3 years, her blog, The Primetime Crime Review, has been cited as one of the best legal blogs in America by the American Bar Association. Allison graduated from Michigan State University and Harvard Law. She lives outside of Washington. Today, we'll speak with her about her third book, Speak of the Devil. Welcome, Allison. It's a pleasure to have you back with us on the Book Report.
Thank you, Elaine. The pleasure is mine.
Allison, you take readers on a wild ride right from the get-go. Your main character, Anna Curtis, receives a wedding proposal, and she's called to work on a gruesome gang murder right at the beginning of the book. Fabulous opening.
Thank you.
Is MS-13 based on an actual Salvadoran gang?
Yes, it is a real gang. They're really called MS-13, and National Geographic calls them the world's most dangerous gang. I really wanted to put Anna in danger in this book and have her face a real sort of physical threat. And as a prosecutor, I think there are very few cases that are as dangerous to take to trial as those involving this particular gang.
Wow. What does Mara Salvatruca mean?
It means, loosely translated, it means look out for us Salvadoran gangsters.
So are there pods in each and every city where there's a large Hispanic population in the U.S.?
There are. It has gone viral. It started off as this kind of small band of thugs in L.A. in the 1990s as a result of all the immigrants from the Civil War in El Salvador. And since then, it has just gone viral. They estimate there are 50,000 members worldwide, and there are cliques or pods in every major American city. And the violence that they bring is really remarkable. They're different from other gangs that way. Other gangs usually have a kind of a reason. They want to control the drugs in the market, or the guns, or they want to control a particular territory. But for MS-13, the violence is the point. They've made a name for themselves just by being the craziest, most brutal group of people out there, and that makes them particularly dangerous and fearsome.
For the gang initiation, the jumped in, there is the 13-second beating.
Right. That's for the boys.
For the boys. And yeah, and then you write about a sexing in ritual for the girls. And honestly, in my mind, the 13-second beating seems way more bearable than the sexing in.
I agree. And that's part of what, you know, I wanted to talk about in the gang is it's not just brutal. It's brutally misogynistic. The way that they treat women, both the girls in their gang and women outside of their gang, is so incredibly medieval. It's amazing. And right, I think it's very well encapsulated in that initiation ritual where the boys are beaten in for 13 seconds, but the girls are sexed in. They have to have sex with every boy in the gang. And it's a ritual, I think, that's purposely intended to humiliate the girl, to make her feel like she is the property of every boy in the gang, and really to give the boys, and these are boys who very often are at the bottom of society's food chain and really do feel that, but it's intended to give them a sense that at least they have power in one place in the world, and that is over the girls.
Right. And to quote you, you wrote, "These were the boys at the bottom of society's food chain. The world taunted them with their low status, their inferiority, with all the things they would never own or achieve. But at least they were superior to the girls. Here they had power."
Right. And I think that's what sexual assault so often comes down to. It's very, you know, sometimes it's about physical urges, lust, pleasure, but so often it's about power.
Do the gangs coordinate kind of city to city?
You know, it's an interesting structure. They each have these local cliques, so they wreak their own havoc in their own cities. But there's also kind of an overarching leadership that's kind of vague and cloudy, and some of it is based in El Salvador, and some of it is just kind of in the wind. And that's kind of what I tried to portray with the leader, Diablo. So Diablo is based on a real leader of the MS-13 gang that really was going up and down the coasts of America and trying to rile up the gang. There was this feeling that some of the cliques were not being brutal enough. They were just kind of sitting around smoking weed or watching TV, and that wasn't good enough. So this particular leader went around, and he was like a one-man crime wave in every city, forcing them to commit more murders and robberies, prostitution, extortion, rapes. And so that's the character of Diablo in Speak Up the Devil.
I know that many boys don't live to grow out of the gang, but do men actually age out of being in the gang?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because they recruit these young kids. They recruit kids at the age of 13, 14 years old. And it's very well known that once you're in the gang, you're in for life. But when you're 13 or 14, I don't think you really know what for life means. I don't think you see it that way. And what you do see are these 20-year-old young men, and at 20, you're kind of an old man in the gang at that point, and they want to leave. They want to, you know, just go on and have a regular life. And they can't. They're stuck in this middle ground of being too good to want to do what the gang makes them do anymore, but too bad to really return to regular life, and also not being permitted to leave. They'll be killed first. Their family will be killed if they leave the gang. And I've certainly felt a measure of sympathy for men, evil as they are, and the bad things that they've done in that situation, who have no path out, no real path to redemption.
And this is a very good segue to your mystery man in the novel, who Hector Ramos. Talk about him a bit.
Yes, well, Hector Ramos is a cop with a very shadowy sort of background. I don't want to give away too much, but he was a very interesting character to write in terms of finding someone who has tried to find a way to redeem himself and who carries secrets just despite all of his best intentions.
Mm. Well, I've often wondered, you served 12 years as a prosecutor of truly heinous crimes. Was it possible for you to close the office door, return home as an ordinary wife and mom with, you know, a sunny suburban outlook?
Well, I tried. I think I'm definitely much more cautious as a mom than maybe most moms are, given the stories that I've heard and the cases that I tried. I think there's no way to do that job for the length of time that I did it and not have it affect you in that way. But I do try very consciously not to be a helicopter mom and to make my kids feel like the world is generally a safe place.
Well, tell us about the Primetime Crime Review.
Well, that is my blog. I also blog for the Huffington Post, and I look at TV crime dramas, and I evaluate what they're getting right and wrong from my perspective as a former prosecutor.
All right. Which TV show gets it closest to right?
Well, I think The Wire did. I think The Wire was just brilliant, and I've actually heard that thugs in Baltimore, where the show is set, used to watch the show to figure out what methods of police surveillance were being used to track them down in real life, because they were just getting it all so right. But then on the other side of the equation is CSI, which every prosecutor you've ever spoken to will hate because of the CSI effect, where jurors come in expecting this magical science in each and every case, and it's just not at all the reality, and prosecutors have to align reality with their CSI-based expectations.
I hope you give Hawaii Five-O a good score, because I just think that McGarrett is the hottest-looking guy.
That does count for a lot.
Okay. Well, what's next for you? Are you already at work on your next thriller?
I am. Simon & Schuster signed me up for two more, so I'm working on the fourth book in the Anna Curtis series, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be an interesting and different one.
Well, I have to tell you, once you grab your readers from page one, they don't want to put down the book, myself included. Allison, I loved Speak of the Devil, and it was great fun to talk to you today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
All righty, bye.
Bye-bye.